And now, Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
This is a foundational principle for our country. We were founded on the notion that government should at some point stay out of people's business.
Yeah.
To say it in an academic way.
This has been Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
Stu Does America.
Only a few days away from the one-year anniversary of the overturn of Roe versus Wade, June 24th, 2022. Of course, celebrate that and piss off your liberal friends with your 6/24/22 merch. It's available now at StuDoesMerch.com. Use the promo code STU10 to save 10%. If you're watching on YouTube, like the video right now. Why wouldn't you? I mean, it's been amazing so far, hasn't it? You got Kamala Harris already saying something stupid, and we're only like 2 minutes into the show. You can hit the bell for notifications. We do appreciate it when you subscribe as well. Jason Buttrell is here to talk about the inherent collapse of basically everything we love. We've got more clips from the Donald Trump Bret Baier interview to go through, but we start by doing the Hunter hypocrisy. Yes, here we are. Talking about Hunter Biden, because none of us can really believe everything that's gone down. Of course, he got his wrist slapped a little bit. He's in a little bit of trouble. But CNN wants you to know that his tough times are not over. Yes, they've been giving him such a hard go of it the entire time. If you think of CNN's coverage of Hunter Biden, I'm sure you're thinking how tough it was this whole time that, you know, how they told you not to believe anything, that the laptop was fake and it wasn't even real. And we actually should just ignore it completely. And, you know, of course, that didn't wind up being true. But surely now they're going to give really tough coverage after this. Hunter Biden's plea deal will not spare him from a withering 2024 spotlight. You know what? My guess is Republicans are going to pounce again, aren't they? It's what they always do. Republicans pounce. You know, when Democrats commit major crimes, Republicans pounce on them. And that's, of course, the angle that's very important to the story. And it's tough because these Bidens have just been victims of this horrible treatment from the media and those evil conservatives over and over and over again. It's so frustrating. I'm sure you're as frustrated with it as I am, you know, and this is coming from the Biden administration. It has nothing to do with this. You know, they aren't responsible. It's not their Justice Department. I mean, it kind of is, but they didn't know anything about this. They didn't know anything about the Trump indictment. They didn't know anything about the Hunter basically getting cleared of all of his serious crimes. And they want you to know that. They do. Merrick Garland has distanced himself from the Hunter Biden plea deal. You know, he's distanced himself. I mean, sure. He said he's going to have nothing to do with it the whole time, but he's needing to distance himself for some reason because, you know what? No one believes him. Nobody. Not a person on earth believes that he knew nothing about this. Not a person on earth believes he knew nothing about the Trump indictments coming down. Every single person on earth knows that he knew a lot about it because, of course, it's obvious to everyone that he does. And of course, Joe Biden knew every little step of the way what was coming on this one as well. They don't get surprised on Twitter by this news, despite what they say over and over again. Of course, Biden now does know about it after learning on Twitter, and he's been able to address his son's Hunter's federal tax evasion plea deal for the first time publicly. Here is what he had to say.
So I'd like to ask the press to leave the room. Thank you for coming in. I'm very proud of my son.
Ah, good job. I'm very proud of my son. I mean, he is electric. The big smile there is really infuriating, though. My son got away with almost, I mean, he's impregnated about 545 people. God only knows how many abortions he's gone through. But, hey, he didn't really get away with murder. It's just a gun crime. So no big deal. Very proud of him. And I guess the Hunter did nothing wrong saga is finally over. I think it's time we can have a funeral for some of the things we used to know about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. For example, we used to hear all the time that Hunter had done nothing wrong. And it's interesting because he's pled guilty to tax evasion. He pled guilty to not paying his taxes for 2 years. And of course, the gun crime thing is there as well. Basically, he's getting a plea deal on that one, but I mean, he's certainly not fighting the fact that he did it. Here is, of course, the super, super classic we can finally put to rest.
First of all, my son's done nothing wrong. Mm. I trust him. I have faith in him. And it impacts my presidency by making me feel proud of him.
That's terrible, terrible judgment. You should not be proud of him, first of all, but you certainly shouldn't trust him. He's been completely untrustworthy. And even if you have a very pleasant view of Joe Biden, and you look at him as like, okay, he's a dad, and his son is a complete catastrophe, and you feel bad for him for having to see this go on all the time. I mean, you could detect that a little bit in some of his text messages and voice messages that have leaked out. He does seem like a tortured dad a little bit. Of course, he's tortured in the family business, which is corruption, so I can't feel all that bad about it. But I guess now we can't say anymore that he did nothing wrong, because he's now admitted to doing something wrong. He's pled guilty to, you know, doing something wrong. So we say goodbye, a fond farewell to that line of defense. They always come and they always go. Here is another one that we can look at and say is finally dead and gone.
I'm cooperating completely. And I am absolutely certain, 100% certain, that at the end of the investigation, that I will be cleared.
We say a fond farewell to that line of argument, the 100% certainty that Hunter Biden will be cleared. Now, one thing people will not tell you about 100%, it includes two zeros in it. And technically, he was 0% certain that he was going to be cleared. He was not cleared. In fact, he pled guilty, which is not something you normally do when you're 100% sure you will be cleared. Let's look at another claim from the Bidens that is going to die a terrible, terrible, painful death today.
These are common sense requirements all gun owners should follow. Every gun owner should be required to have the same requirements held to him or her.
Well, maybe not all of them. You know, maybe not every single one, like maybe not your kid. We all know that you or I or honestly any African-American in the inner city who happened to be lying on gun forms about having a drug offense and a drug addiction, that person would be in prison. You'd be in prison. I'd be in prison. But you know who's not going to prison? Hunter Biden. So maybe we don't really mean all people should be held to the same standards when it comes to gun laws. Maybe Hunter, he gets off. This is essentially succession in action. If you go and maybe you're hanging out with a waiter and you drive him off the road and he dies in a ditch, big freaking deal. My dad is really, really important and I shouldn't have to follow those laws. That's kind of where we are with Hunter Biden. And it's been really, really a fun journey. Now, his lawyer is out around town telling everybody that, look, there should be no further complications. This guy should absolutely walk.
Do you have an idea of what the conditions are going to be? Is he going to be on probation?
It's up to the court. My expectation, at least with regard to after that proceeding, is he'll be released without conditions.
Wonderful.
But, you know, what the ultimate disposition of the case is going to be up to the judge.
Let's just release him without any conditions whatsoever. Let's let him back to start making $750,000 art again that random people around the world will buy with absolutely no conditions whatsoever. They just like the color combination of all of his art. I can't wait to see that. And I will say, you know, a lot of people are talking about Hunter Biden. And they keep talking about how he's had this drug addiction. He's been impregnating strippers all over America. And you know, doing blow off their bellies. And I know that that is a negative way of looking at it. But how come no one will ever talk about how sober he is right now? Sure, he's been in a drug-induced haze every day of his public life. But what about right at this second? He might not be doing it right now. And his lawyer wants you to know, man, nobody will talk about that.
How does Hunter Biden feel?
I think Hunter feels happy to move on with his life and his recovery. And keep doing. I mean, the one thing nobody talks about is how long Hunter has been sober, moving forward with his life, being a good person.
Mm-hmm.
No one talks about that. That's what he's going to continue to do.
A good 15 minutes on that one. And then, well, not 15 full minutes, but maybe like 11:30. 11 minutes and 30 seconds of being sober and being a very good person. Congratulations to Hunter Biden. You've really really put together quite the streak there. You know, it's interesting about this is, like, there was only two possible outcomes here. I mean, there was three theoretical outcomes that could happen. One of them was he could actually be held responsible for the things that he did. But that was never actually in play, of course. The only two things that were in play was a slap on the wrist and absolutely nothing. And you might say, well, why didn't he get absolutely nothing? This shows what an incredible Justice Department we have and why you should take these institutions incredibly super-duper seriously. Well, you know, here's the thing. If they didn't do anything, if the investigation went forward and they didn't do anything at all, they didn't charge him with anything, they didn't do much of anything at all, they just kind of let this thing lapse and nothing ever occurred. The problem with that approach, if you happen to be a Biden, is that if Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis or any other Republican get into office, they could go and reopen that investigation. And they could say, wait a minute, you guys left all this on the table and that's a real problem. The way this thing is reportedly structured is that it wipes out all of his liability on all this stuff. So now you can't go in there and reinvestigate him for the crimes he's already been investigated for and come up with an agreement with the Justice Department, because then you'd be essentially double jeopardy. So this way you give him a nice little light slap on the wrist and no one can really go back in and check later on to see what's going on, unless you happen to be an investigator, a prosecutor, in a state, at a state level, that could still go on. And I mean, some people on this network have done multiple shows trying to convince those local people to go after Hunter Biden for the things that he did illegally in your state. If you happen to be in Virginia, if you happen to be in Alabama, there's at least two, and there's several others. Glenn did a whole show on this recently. It might be worth looking into, but federally, it's going to be really tough to get him on any of this stuff because supposedly his entire criminal career has been wiped clean with this deal. We'll see if that actually holds up later on. Now, of course, Trump himself has been in the media as well. He's been out there talking about not only his legal situation, which I want to get to here a little bit more in a second, but also his prospects going into 2024. Brett Baer was interviewing him, and he talked about his approach on the growing problem we have in this country with illegal drugs.
Now, today, if I did what I say that you have to do, and again, I'm not sure the country is ready for it. You know, China was hugely, 150 years ago, China was taken over by much lesser countries because they were all drugged out on the opium and all the problems.
It's a communist regime. They dropped the hammer.
They were all drugged out, and they were totally, they were a disaster. They were taken over by other smaller countries, large sections of China. And then things happened, and they had strong leadership, and they put in the death penalty, and they've been able to build.
Now, being tough on crime is something that I would agree with. I'm not necessarily willing to go to the President Xi approach toward drug dealers. In fact, I don't really want the President Xi approach to anything. I don't think the country is a model to hold up. I also don't think it would be constitutional here. I mean, if you remember, there was a case in Louisiana where the Supreme Court said you can't even use the death penalty for child molestation. So I doubt the drug dealer situation would be ruled constitutional. You never know with these things. Maybe the Supreme Court would reverse itself. But he was asked a little bit further about his new drug policy and how it works with his old drug policy. Now, if you remember, the old drug policy was partially about this criminal justice reform and letting people who were drug dealers out of prison. How do those two things work together? This is sort of a confusing exchange, but it is informative to understand where Trump's head is today.
I focused on nonviolent crime. As an example, a woman who you know very well was in jail. She had 24 more years to serve. She served for 22 years. She had
24. Alice Johnson.
Alice.
She was in the Super Bowl.
High quality. Oh, yeah. I said, how many years? And she was on a telephone call, and they were involved in selling marijuana, mostly marijuana. And she got like 50 years in jail.
But she'd be killed under your plan.
Huh?
As a drug dealer.
No. Under that? It would depend on the severity.
But
it would depend
on
the severity.
Sad. She's technically a former drug dealer. She had multi-million dollar cocaine ring.
Any drug dealer. Look.
So even Alice Johnson in that ad.
She can't do it, okay? By the way, if that was there, no, she wouldn't be killed. It would start as of now, so you wouldn't go to the past.
No, I know, but your policy.
No, I'm starting now, yeah. But she wouldn't have done it if it was death penalty. In other words, if it was death penalty, she wouldn't have been on that phone call. She wouldn't have been a dealer. Now, she wasn't much of a dealer because she was sort of like, I mean, honestly, she got treated terribly. She was treated sort of like I get treated. But, Brett, she was treated very unfairly. But she got 48 years, and that was bad.
Obviously, it's a little bit tough to kind of detect where he's going there. I mean, I guess you have he's basically saying the new policy would be a deterrent, so she would never become a drug dealer. Of course, he's talking about her being treated terribly by being put in prison. But of course, if she did the same thing under the new policy, as Brett Baer points out, she would be killed. It's a tough line. I don't think it would work constitutionally here in the United States. It doesn't seem like it would hold up. But I think more of what you're learning here is what Trump thinks is important, right? When he was in office, he was talking about criminal justice reform. And criminal justice reform was something that, you think he thought was important. He had Kim Kardashian coming in all the time. He had Kanye West coming in all the time. And at that point, he thought kind of being lighter on drug dealers was the way to go. Here, as he's into a primary, it's important to signal law and order to voters. And so he's instead talking about killing drug dealers. President Xi sort of way. I don't know. We'll see how that one works out. Another fascinating part of this, I think, is Trump's commentary on vaccines. This is like the most fascinating political story of my lifetime, because what I've seen from President Trump and his base, they love the guy. They will go with him pretty much anywhere he goes. I mean, like he always talks about loyalty, and he has loyalty to his voters, and that goes back and forth constantly. And they are always on the same page on almost anything, even times when he's taking really different stances than, maybe Republican or conservative orthodoxy. People will generally defend him on those things, with one exception, which is the vaccines. His base hates the vaccines, and he usually will move with the base when they move, and instead he is absolutely not moving. Watch this exchange with Brett Baer.
In your mind, did the COVID vaccine work?
It's such an interesting question, because not only that, I also did the Regenerons of the world, we did a tremendous job on that. But we had a vaccine. Now you have difference. You have different COVIDs. You had COVID-19, and then you have different
strains.
COVIDs. But we had original was COVID-19, which was the roughest one. So I have a Democrat friend who's very smart. Hopefully he votes for me, but he's very smart. He said, I don't understand one thing about you. I watch your rallies. They're incredible. You talk about beating ISIS. You talk about taxes. You talk about regulation. You talk about everything. But you never said that. I've never heard you talk about how the incredible job you did with the vaccines, because, as you know, I got them done in 9 months, and it was supposed to take anywhere from 5 to 12 years. I broke their ass, okay? And you know who doesn't like me too much? The FDA. Because they were very bureaucratic, and I got it done. And he said, you may have saved in the world, throughout the world, 100 million people, and you never talk about it. I said, I really don't want to talk about it, because as a Republican, it's not a great thing to talk about, because for some reason, it's just not.
For some reason?
Yeah, for some reason, because people love the vaccines, and people hate the vaccines, but conservatives aren't. And I understand both sides of it, by the way. I understand both sides very well. What I didn't do is the mandates. The mandates and the vaccines don't go.
That is going to be a fascinating part of the primary to see that play out. I'm just going to sit back and just put popcorn and watch that go back and forth. What I will say about all this is that's the sort of stuff that's going to be effective potentially as a tactic in the campaign. He's going to talk about that. People are going to attack him on it. Whatever. That's going to be interesting to watch. What I don't think is going to be that big of a deal for this election, a smaller deal than at least people are saying, are these indictments. We are likely to go through this election in 2024 in some version of the current status quo, which is Trump has been accused of a bunch of stuff and has not been convicted of it. Likely, we will go through the entire election cycle, unless he cuts a deal to get out of a couple of these things. Likely, we'll go into the election with these still being open questions as to whether he's going to be convicted or whatever else. And if he wins, they're not going to throw the president of the United States in prison. That's not going to happen. That's just not going to occur. So honestly, like, when it comes down to a political calculation, at the end of the day, we're not going to be talking about a president who has been, you know, who's going to prison or, you know, likely at least doing these things. We're going to be talking about a person who's been accused of a bunch of stuff that has a bunch of question marks out there, the current state that we're in right now. So really, a lot of this stuff, it's really important for Donald Trump. It's important for his family. It's important if he becomes president, at least when he leaves office, it will be very important for him and his future. But as far as the election goes, I don't know how much of a big deal this is. People who are going to vote for Donald Trump look at this stuff and dismiss it. They say this is nonsense. It's the state coming after him. People who hate Donald Trump say, of course, he's guilty of everything I've ever thought of. So really, does this move anybody? I don't think it moves very many people. I think people have their mind made up on Donald Trump. He's been around and been one of the most famous people in the world for the past 50 years. So I think people are aware, they've made up their mind, and the media is going to throw themselves into these fits over and over again, but it's not going to change anything. Ah, it's summer, and you know how I know it's summer? Because it's 120 degrees right now here in Texas. It is really freaking hot right now, and you need to make sure you look your best this summer. And Genucell's here to help you. They've got their beautifully curated summer essentials package. It's a limited edition package. It includes their one-of-a-kind ultra retinol super moisturizer that uses a powerful plant extract alternative to retinol without the harsh side effects, and perfectly safe to use in the summer sun. Plus, you'll get Genucell's classic skincare therapy for under-eye bags and puffiness, and concentrated vitamin C serum to nourish your skin for a visibly clear complexion with a glow that will even get compliments everywhere you go. Go to genucell.com/stew right now. Get your Genucell Summer Essentials package right now for the summer. Every subscription order includes a customized summer spa gift box, which is absolutely free. So order now, and every summer package will include Genucell's immediate effects, which is also free. With its immediate effects, you can get your results guaranteed in 12 hours or less, or your money back. So don't miss it. Genucell.com/stew. Genucell.com/stew. It's GENUCEL.com/stew.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
I'm joined once again by Jason Buttrell. He's a head writer and researcher for Glenn Beck, and he joins us now. Jason, how are you?
Good.
Thanks for having me. We live in weird times, and I, you know, I've been talking a lot about kind of the two main legal stories, the Hunter Biden escapades and the Donald Trump situation here, the indictment he's facing. And like, it doesn't seem like I'm looking at the same country, the way these two people are being treated. I mean, have people completely lost faith in the justice system at this point?
I just don't think justice means anything anymore in this country. Mm. And I mean, you just take a look at, Alex Jones, for crying out loud. Mm. Is it justice to pay $1 billion for basically talking crap on the internet? That's not justice.
No.
So I totally disagree with what he said and everything, yeah. But that is not justice. I tell you what, who also is saying, you know, there's no justice system in this country right now. That's Wesley Snipes. Wesley Snipes is pissed. He's like, Hunter got away with what? Two misdemeanors and a slap on the wrist? Wesley Snipes is like, dude, I spent 3 years in jail for the same thing.
To remind people, Wesley Snipes had a very similar thing. He just didn't pay taxes. He was like a believer in the you don't have to pay taxes philosophy, right? Like, he kind of got into that. That does not work in court, boys and girls, don't try it, as many people have found out. But he, spent time in prison, really blew up his, you know, whatever was left of his career because he just decided not to pay taxes.
And his wasn't on a drug ground, right? He wasn't saying, like, I'm so drugged out, I'm not going to pay, or I forgot to pay. He was like, I believe I'm not supposed to pay. And they threw the book at him. Hunter Biden, not so much.
Yeah, well, I mean, you want to just let this blow your mind and, you know, boil your blood. But just Google, you know, list of prominent people that served jail time for tax evasion. Mm-hmm. And you'll go through it. And it's some of these are a lot less than even what Hunter Biden was, you know.
It's millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars
he didn't pay.
But there's this was probably more money back in the day. But I think Chuck Berry, he was imprisoned for, I can't know, like a month or a couple months or something like that. It was like $500,000 or something like that. Of course, that was like back in the, 60s or 50s. But,
sure.
But still, but I mean, it's a long list of prominent people where even their fame couldn't keep them out of prison. They still went to prison. Now, this guy gets a slap on the wrist for, two misdemeanors that they gave him. Mm-hmm. And they just completely diverted the gun charge, which I cannot wrap my brain around that at all. I mean, you are, okay, Google this, and I can say this because I just got finished Googling it not too long ago, but just Google man brandishes weapon on social media or something like that.
John Morant is like, hey, I lost 40-something or 25 games.
Like, what the hell? Right. Yeah. I mean, but yeah, they go to prison. Not only that, but the cops do these huge investigations. They go track them down. They'll do a sting. They'll make a big public display of slapping the handcuffs on them and then throwing, you know, their butts in jail. He got a diverted gun charge. This is absolutely nuts what they're doing.
It is fascinating, too. And one of the reasons, of many reasons it's fascinating, is that the left constantly says we need new gun laws. But they have no interest in actually enforcing the gun laws that we have. Like, look, there's a lot of things that I would disagree with. I think we have too many gun laws, as it is, in my opinion. We're not consistent with the Second Amendment already at this point in this country. But, like, when there's a gun law that is on the books like this, the left constantly wants to let people out of it. Usually it's because they have some racial justification. There's some, these rules are hitting minorities too tough, and they're disproportionately hitting people in cities and all these things. But, like, this is an example of they're letting them. This is a guy who argued, Joe Biden argued, for this to be prosecuted every time, this particular crime, when you lie on an application like this, because that was what looked good to the gun control people a few months ago. Well, now his son's involved, and his own Justice Department's like, whatever, we'll just look the other way.
Yeah, and you would, okay, you know my boss.
Yeah.
You know him well. So you know kind of where my thinking usually goes in a lot of these topics, a lot of these things. Mm. My tinfoil hat comes on, sure. And as it should. And I start to wonder, like, because you would think that they would want to be maybe a little bit more, you know, forceful in handling this case, because it just makes it look so obvious that he's being protected because he's the president's son. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, they could... Have you seen the book, what's that report that they did of the Hunter Biden laptop? Can't remember, a Marco Polo report? Mm. They now have it in a bind copy, so you can buy this thing and just flip through. I mean, it's like that thick, and it's all the different crimes. So sex crimes, drug crimes, business crimes, all these things that he'll probably never have to answer for. Now they have something here. It just seems like they kind of fed us this just to kind of make us shut up or distract us, or something else is going on. And I think I brought this up in one of our meetings the other day that, I don't know, it seems a little bit too perfect for me. It almost makes it look like there was some other deal cut. Deal cut with the Biden family at large, they're degenerates. Like, who cares if some of them go to prison? Like, I don't think people like that would really matter. It always makes me think that something, you know, and the person that should be the focus of this all along is the big guy. You know, Daddy Joe. Was some kind of deal struck with Daddy Joe? I don't know. It just makes me wonder, especially now that he's still polling really, really badly. Mm-hmm. I've even seen some polls where Trump is closing the margin of error on him now. You also have things like...
some polls that showed Trump ahead of him.
There's
been a couple
of those. This campaign against Trump is backfiring big time on his base. Mm-hmm. Even people like me, Stu, where if it's a head-to-head matchup, I'm probably voting in the primary. I'm voting for Ron DeSantis. Mm-hmm. Even someone like me that has said that, and I still kind of believe that, I want to go right now and vote for Donald Trump just because I do not like to see people get bullied.
Right.
And I know there's a lot of people like me. They're like, nah, screw that. All right, now I'm just voting for Trump because we cannot allow this to continue to happen.
And I think that's part, they seem to be trying this whole lottery game again where, hey, if we put Trump in there, we'll beat him. We can beat Donald Trump. So the left, the media seem to be aligned here in trying to do these things that they know will elevate Donald Trump. They know trashing Trump on TV. They know, coming out and constantly talking about these indictments and how he's going to be thrown away. All this stuff is going to help Trump in the primary. It may not help him in the general, but it will help him in the primary. I think they know that, and they're taking this risk that they think he's beatable. They've tried this before. It didn't work out well in 2016. 2020, they pulled it off. It's a risky proposition, though, especially for someone they say is basically Hitler.
It is, right. Well, I mean, in 2016, he got so many independents that just did not like Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. Then Trump pissed off a lot of those independents, and they were like, okay, well, we don't really like Joe Biden, but they basically did the same exact thing they did for Trump. They said, okay, fine, we'll just vote for Joe Biden. Right now, if I'm an independent, I'm saying, okay, this world that the left is building right now, where you can throw Wesley Snipes in jail, but not Hunter Biden for the same thing. Yeah. Blade was kind of a cool movie, you know, like what the heck?
He's done something for society. White Men Can't Jump was incredible.
Oh, God, don't get me started. I mean, you should have done the show on that. but they don't want to see that world. They don't want to see a world where the main political rival, the guy that's going to be probably running against President Biden in the next election, they are now greenlighting trying to throw him into jail. That is craziness. I never would have thought that from my country. I mean, they even pardoned Nixon because they didn't want to create this situation. That was the exact reason. They wanted to heal the country. They didn't want it to divide it.
Yeah.
Now they're purposely trying to divide it. They're purposely trying to create two countries within North America. Within the United States.
Yeah. So when you look at this, how this turns out, and we talked about this just briefly before, that like there's a good chance this gets resolved after the election. There's a good chance that we go to the general election if Trump were to win in this same scenario where he has multiple indictments, but he's not going to prison. They're not necessarily resolved unless he cuts a deal. They're not necessarily resolved. They're kind of just hanging out there. This is kind of very, very likely where we're going to be going into this election if he is to win it. So when you look at that scenario, how does this play out? Number one, do you think that these things lead to convictions? Is our belief that the deep state and all these things coming after him all the time, do they win this and they put him in jail? And number two, or at least convict him. And number two, can he overwhelm all of these things going on at the same time to win a general election?
Well, So predicting when I try to predict the future and look at that, it's incredibly scary because I guess I'm more worried about where they see this going. Mm. Like, do they see that they can push the American people as far to the brink as possible? And they've got to think that someone is going to do something.
Yeah.
When I say that, I mean like civil unrest, you know, like some kind of civil uprising or something like that.
Okay.
Because you can only push people so far for so long. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's the future that they see happening, whether they think that's okay, or they think that they're just going to beat us into submission. I don't know which one is worse. Think about that. Like, what is the worst scenario? That they push so far that it does cause people to hit the streets en masse and say, no, we're not going to put up with this. Or option two, they successfully beat people like the MAGA base, mm-hmm. or even independents completely into the floor to where they feel completely helpless and screw it, just do whatever you want to do. Both of those scenarios mm-hmm. sound frightening to me.
Yeah, very frightening. I mean, if they can get a certain percentage, and it was a small percentage that were at January 6th that participated in the bad things that went on January 6th, but like if they can get a January 6th part two out of this, and they inspire, you know, whatever fringe of the right-wing movement, or Trump fans, whatever you want to call it, to do something bad, I don't know how we're going to recover from that. I don't think the American people looked at that and did not like it at the time. If that election was held near January 6, 2021, if there's another election there, anyone associated with Donald Trump would have had a real tough time with it. Time heals these wounds at some level, but if you get another one of these, if they can inspire some crazy person to do something terrible 3 months before the election, the American people are not going to put up with it. I mean, look, all the stuff that's gone on with January 6th, all the stuff, the way the media's talked about it was worse than the Civil War, all that stuff aside, That's all ridiculous. And they've been so bad in the media that a lot of people who were really pissed off about January 6th have come back and said, like, look, I hate the left so much, I don't care about it anymore. This happens again, I think it's going to be a real, it would be a real problem. And it's hard to look, to your point, it's hard to look at this and say they're not trying to push people into doing something like this.
I don't know how it hasn't already happened. You know, I hope it doesn't, but I don't know how it already hasn't happened. Just when you think about, I mean, when you think about the case against Trump, which I think you were talking about earlier, how do you not view that as political persecution? When you look at, have you read the transcript of the National Archives head when he testified to Congress?
I think I did read some of that, yeah.
So I was reading through that the other day. One of my jobs, it sucks, ridiculous, long transcript. Yeah. But I was reading through that just the other day. And he talks about how every president, I think he says since Reagan, has mishandled classified information. He goes into, well, you know, there's not a lot of, he goes, there's no standard for regulating what is taken out of the Oval Office. He goes, there is no standard. So he was asked a question. So does, you know, things like this happen in the past? And he goes, this is very regular. He goes, when they're packing up, he goes, multiple personal items get thrown into boxes with classified documents, and then those get sent off to, you know, wherever they get sent off when the president leaves. And then, so intercut that with the Bret Baier interview, where everyone was freaking out, and they're like, oh my God, Trump said there was classified documents interspersed.
Right.
Well, the National Archive president said the same damn thing.
Oh, wow, yeah.
He said the same thing in his testimony to Congress.
That's amazing. I didn't remember that. That's incredible.
So not only did he, like, completely blow that out of the water, but he admitted that this, this is pretty much the way things go. He doesn't say this part, but basically, so I'm not sure why, you know, we're doing this against the president. Well, I know that that's not, he didn't say that. I know he knows exactly why, because everything from the beginning of this case just did not make sense. So apparently from them and from his testimony, while they were going through all the stuff that they're, you know, all the classified documents after he left office, all of a sudden he was like, oh, wait a minute, there's some things that I know should be in here that aren't here. So they reached out to Trump. And then Trump said, oh, yeah, here's another 15 boxes or whatever, sent them off. He still, the guy still didn't see it. So then he immediately referred that up to the Department of Justice. That's never happened before.
Yeah.
Why would you take that step, go from there to this next step? It doesn't make any sense. Then then Trump would, I think that for the next two times later after that, he actually cooperated with the FBI. Well, the raid would come later, even though the Biden administration said that they didn't have anything to do with this. We now know they had to green light the DOJ to get to have the FBI do the raid. This stinks to high heaven. Yeah. Now, you could say that, I'm sorry I'm filibustering this, but this really pisses me off. But I mean, you could say that, yeah, this is political persecution. I think that exactly this is political persecution. But they're going to find a crime in there. They just never, convicted a crime on it before, but they will find the crime here.
And that's what I keep coming back to, because if I truly believe that these people are after Donald Trump at any cost, which I do, I think, right? I keep saying it. I think I do. If I truly believe that, why am I convinced that he's not going to get convicted and been put in prison for this? Mm-hmm. Why would they stop here? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. We're running too late because of your filibuster. But one thing you did not include, I noticed, is you forgot to say that the Biden administration found out about this in the news, just like everybody else.
Oh, that's true.
They didn't know anything about
this.
So that blows up your entire argument.
It was a tweet, I think.
It was a tweet. They saw it in a tweet. Jason Buttrell, head writer and researcher for Glenn Beck. Make sure to follow him on social media. Jason, thanks for coming on the program.
Thanks, Amy.
Before this segment started, Jason and I were talking about where we might move if the apocalypse comes. And if you're looking to move because you think the apocalypse is around the corner, you're going to need a good real estate agent. And that's why realestateagentsitrust.com exists. Glenn has always talked about it because he had a bad real estate experience back in the day. And so he created this company. But I think, honestly, maybe he should start looking at this as just an apocalypse company. When you have to move to the hinterlands, you just need to easily work with realestateagentsitrust.com. They deal with only the best agents, those who are committed to working hard to bring you the best possible results. And they're wherever you are. So if you're anywhere going in the United States, somewhere secret, realestateagentsitrust.com. The name kind of says it all. realestateagentsitrust.com. Check it out now. realestateagentsitrust.com. Some sad news to share with you today. Very, very sad. To our extended DEI and HR team, I'm writing to share the news that LaTondra Newton has decided to leave the Walt Disney Company to pursue other endeavors. Mm-hmm, it's true. Since joining the company in 2017, LaTondra has led the company's strategic diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives, including partnering with stakeholders across the enterprise to amplify stories of the world by people around the world. What a really meaningful sentence that was. In fact, it wasn't just a collection of meaningless buzzwords that led you absolutely nowhere. But the Disney Chief Diversity Officer, LaTondra Newton, is out at Disney. And you might think, wow, are they trying to get their act together? No, no, they talk on and on and on in the letter about how they're going to replace her with somebody new, maybe even better, maybe even someone who, I don't know, hates, you know, gender norms even more. And I hope they find that person. Also, breaking news, Geraldo Rivera says he's off Fox News' The Five. Also, breaking news, Geraldo Rivera was on Fox News' The Five at one point. So now we have all that breaking news done, and you know exactly where all the people you care about are going. We've been talking about, you know, places like Disney. They go out of their way to make your life miserable. I mean, it's really what they do at this point. They don't care about you. They don't care about your views. They don't like the things that you like. They don't have the same values as you. They don't seem to care about this country at all. And you get to a point when you're trying to just do business, you just want to find a company that doesn't hate your guts. Grip 6 is a company that does that and so much more. They do not hate your guts. In fact, they like you. They like your country. They like your values. These are people who actually work hard to make sure that their products are made right here in the United States because they love this country. And they have great, you know, wallets and belts and socks, all great sort of products that you're going to love. And you're going to be able to buy them from a company that doesn't hate your guts. Go to grip6.com/stu. Use the code STU. You'll save 15% off. The wallets are really cool. They're different than probably any other wallet you've ever had. Socks, super comfortable. You can wear them in the warm or the cold weather. I mean, it's just really a great line of products. It's grip6.com/stu. Get 15% off today. grip6.com/stu. Sylvester Stallone sold his house to Adele. And that's, you know, I guess not that interesting. Sylvester Stallone really rich, Adele really rich. Yeah, this stuff happens, right? One interesting part about this is it's a really nice mansion. Here's the picture of it. And you'll see it. It's not like one of these. You've seen some of these old mansions that like are old and decrepit. It's not like that. It's a beautiful, beautiful mansion that looks awesome. Adele decided to buy this mansion, and she had one condition on the mansion that Sylvester Stallone leave the Rocky statue that is by the pool. Now, look how cool this looks. It's an infinity pool looking out over the valley or whatever. You've got the Rocky statue in the distance. I can see why she wanted to keep it. You might say, well, I mean, that's not a huge surprise that you want to keep it. She said she would not actually go through with the purchase if Sylvester Stallone took the statue, which is kind of crazy. Especially crazy because she's literally destroying every other thing on the property. She knocked down the entire mansion. Look at this. She's rebuilt the entire thing. Now, I'm sure it's going to be even better. I mean, and if you're Adele, why the hell not, right? You might as well make your house exactly how you want it because you can hit lots of high notes and there's a James Bond song or something at one point. The point I guess I'm making is I feel like she really likes Rocky and I connect with her on that point. Rocky Balboa fans unite. The Rocky statue remains. And Sylvester Stallone has not only now lost control of the franchise, but he's also lost control of his statue. A little sad for Sly, but hey. And Adele's the new money on the block, and I guess she gets to make her own decisions. Saturday is the one-year anniversary of the overturning of Roe versus Wade. It happened on 6/24/22. I may have got one of these stylish hats right here, 6/24/22. A friend of mine wears these. He's got a T-shirt, and he wears it around, and every time he wears it, somebody asks him, what's 6/24/22? And he's like, what's the date they overturned Roe versus Wade? You can get your own, and I get to explain that to all of your liberal friends at studosmerch.com, studosmerch.com. Code is STU10, you'll save 10%. Also have the Anyone But Biden 24 merch is there as well. Big seller, check it out. studosmerch.com, the code is STU10. We will see you tomorrow.